You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz, and today is 6/7/21. Well, transitory inflation, you know what they say, the best things in life are transitory. And what will the Fed do? And why should you care? Will it matter to you? Will it matter to your annual or your monthly credit card statement or your mortgage payment? Or if you're buying a house, is it going to affect you there? Well, here to discuss and opine on something that's near and dear to his heart is our good friend Jim Welsh from Macro Tides. And, well, so tell us, Jim, first, if you want further information or you got an opinion, how is inflation affecting you, please send us an email to kl@carrielutz.com. So, Jim, what's going to be here? What's your take on what the Fed's doing, what the markets are doing, and never the twain shall meet?
Yeah, well, I think we're close to a period where we're going to see risk off being the dominant theme, Gary, primarily as you were alluding into the intro, that inflation, I think, is going to be more problematic. And for anyone, I did a deep dive in terms of looking at four aspects of this wave of inflation. You have base effects, and then service inflation, supply chain disruptions, and then finally wage inflation. And so the timing of how each one of those factors is going to top out and roll over is going to be staggered. So base effects are going to peak, if not last month, they'll probably peak this month. But I think the key point here is core inflation is going to continue to climb. So we'll see headline inflation come down over the next 3 to 5 months. But core inflation is going to hold above 3%, may get up to 3.5%. And I think that's what's going to be problematic for the Fed.
All right. So over 3% inflation, and we've got it now. I mean, let's face it, these inflation numbers are cooked through and through. No one in their right mind can believe it. I mean, just look at housing prices. Look at the way they've gone up. But of course, the Fed doesn't, the CPI doesn't measure housing prices. They measure imputed or implied rent, how much it would cost you to rent a house similar to yours. And of course, that's going to understate the inflation in housing prices dramatically, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. But I think the key thing here is taking the numbers as they are. Last year, rents dropped significantly as a lot of people moved out of major cities. Like New York and San Francisco. But what we're going to see, Kerry, is, and that's subtracted from core inflation. Now we're seeing rents rebounding. As some people go back, landlords are able to raise rents at the end of June. The moratorium on rent payments is also going to end, which will probably add about 25 basis points to core inflation. So the very thing that's kind of been suppressing core inflation is one of those components that is going to increase the core CPI in the next 6 months. So again, I think, you know, staying above 3% is going to be problematic because markets are going to start to wonder if this persists beyond just 1 or 2 months. Markets are going to question transitory. This doesn't seem very transitory to us. And based on the chart of the Treasury yields, when they yields got up to their highs on March 30, I thought we would see a pullback of 25 to 30 basis points based on the pattern. That was wave three. The current pullback in yields is wave four, which I think is going to run a little bit more and bring yields down close to the lows they hit on May 7th. But then, Kerry, I think we're going to see yields push up the 10-year at a minimum, I think, gets to 195. It could get up to 215 in the second half of this year. And that will be problematic for the market on two fronts. What we saw in February and March, as Treasury yields went higher, mega cap stocks got hit pretty good because it was PE compression. During that time, though, cyclical stocks rallied very strongly, things like materials, industrials, and so forth. And I think the problem that the market's going to have is if we do get another spurt higher in treasury yields, we're going to see the mega caps correct. But this time, I think we're going to see the cyclical stocks join in. And I think that the S&P is vulnerable to about a 10% pullback, possibly down to 3750, 3800. That was the March 4th low. And then I think we'll see another rally in the S&P after we go through this risk-off adjustment period. But, again, if I'm right about how the markets are going to respond to the inflation numbers, if they persist, as I think likely, I think that becomes an issue. And I'll mention, as I said, I went through a deep dive on the inflation aspects. I'm happy to offer your listeners the June macro tides, which really went into great detail. Just email me, jimwelshmacro@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to send out a copy of that. I think you'll find it very informative.
All right. Yeah, I think it's must reading because the inflation situation, look, lumber looks like it's peaked, but maybe it's going to go up again. Same thing with copper. What's your take on copper? Because so much of the economy, where it's heading, all revolves around copper, right, Dr. Copper?
Yeah. Well, I'll touch on lumber very quickly because it went from 400 to 1700. And the point I make in the letter is even though it drops to 800, if it gets all the way down to 800, that's still double what it was 15, 18 months ago. So that's where, you get some relief on the commodity side, but you still have, asset prices, including copper, up quite a bit. If I'm right about a risk-off window of time, copper's going to pull back, I think, toward about $4, and then we'll see another rally to a new high later this year. So, I think all these asset classes are going to go through a readjustment. I think gold and silver are going to pop, with gold getting above the high last week. It was around 1915. I think it could approach 1950. Silver, same thing. It'll take out the highs from last week. But there also, I think after that happens, we're going to see a pullback in the metals. And lastly, one of the interesting things is most people are very negative on the dollar. I mean, there's so many people talking about the dollar not being a reserve currency and all the rest of that. I don't necessarily disagree. I just think they may be 5 years too soon. The pattern in the dollar index suggests that from the high in January of 2017, the dollar got up to about 103.80. I think it's completing a big ABC pullback that we'll see a little bit more weakness, carry below 89.20. The low in February of 2018 was 88.25. So my guess is somewhere between those two numbers, we'll see the dollar fall in the next couple of weeks to that range. But then I think we're going to see the dollar improve. And again, this ties in with the idea of perceptions of Fed policy, that the Fed is going to have to be a first tapering and then down the road raising interest rates. And as markets start to think that the Fed will have to raise rates in 2022 and maybe more than once, that's going to be supportive of the dollar. Lastly, I'll talk about the yuan. The Chinese yuan has five waves up from the low last year. So it's ready for a pullback as well. Lo and behold, last week, some statements made by some of the banks, they increased reserve costs. So China does not want to see the yuan rise any more than it already has. So I think they'll do whatever they need to get the yuan to pull back. And I think that'll probably spill over to other emerging market currencies as well. So there's a lot of things coming together the next month or so that I think we're going to see pivots, and the dollar rallying and making a bottom and then rallying is part of the overall equation.
All right. Well, you've given us a lot to chew over there, but I do tend to agree with you about the yuan and about the dollar, because I think the world's making the same mistake that it made right after perhaps 2008, 2009, and that was making all these loans in dollars. Effectively, the big short was in the dollar. And we're seeing the world just do it again. They say, how much longer can this dollar last? And I tend to agree with you. It's going to fall into the dustbin of history sooner rather than later. But we don't know exactly when. And as long as the shorts are keeping it up, anything is possible,
Don't just survive. Thrive, the Financial Survival Network.
Goldterra Resource Corp is a gold exploration company that has assembled a highly prospective district-scale land position on the doorstep of the city of Yellowknife in Canada's Northwest Territories. Goldterra is currently focused on expanding and delineating gold resources at the company's Yellowknife City Gold Project with a goal of discovering over 5 million ounces. With ready access to infrastructure and multiple high-grade gold discoveries, Goldterra is on track to re-establishing Yellowknife as one of the premier gold mining districts in Canada. Goldterra trades as YGT in Toronto and YGTFF on the OTC. For more information, go to goldterracorp.com. That's goldterracorp.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Well, two things. Again, positioning. A lot of people are indeed, as you just noted, short the dollar by being long other currencies. And number two is I'm going by the price pattern. So back in 2014 in the spring, I noted that Mario Draghi started to talk about how the strength of the euro was reducing their inflation, and they wanted to get inflation higher. The euro was trading around 140. Based on the price pattern, I thought it was going to drop to about 105, and that the dollar would rally from around 80 to over 100. And that's exactly what happened. It wasn't as much, gee whiz, the dollar's really strong, as the euro being weak, because Mario wanted the euro to go down to help the EU economy and also get inflation going again. So sometimes people misconstrue dollar weakness or strength. You got to be looking at the other currencies to see what's going on in their economies, because that backs into either dollar weakness or dollar strength. And so, you know, I think there's a combination of things that are going to come there. The part of it is going to be the perception that the Fed is going to be moving to reducing the monetary accommodation, the extreme accommodation that they've provided over the last 15 months. And I think that's going to be supportive. So we'll see. The next, as I said, the next few months are going to be fairly dynamic in a lot of different markets.
Yeah, we're in for some tumultuousness for sure. We're in for real volatility. And the one thing I've learned is that the market always seeks to frustrate the majority of its participants. And there's no reason to believe that this time with the dollar or with anything else that anything has changed. Do you follow cryptocurrencies at all, Jim?
I do. And I think Bitcoin's going to drop below the low it recently hit. I think somewhere between 28 and 30,000. And that will complete what I think is a declining phase. Then there'll be some basing that will take a few months and so forth. But I think the odds favor that Bitcoin will go up and make another new high. Like the recent high was wave three. This pullback is a wave four. And that we'll see Bitcoin move up to a higher high over the next 1 to 2 years.
I agree with that, by the way. But I think there's going to be a lot of blood before we get to that point, which is why if you're buying cryptos, you should average up or average down. Don't try to catch the big move, because the big move could be the move that goes down. And nothing worse than when you buy a stock or any other asset and then you watch it lose a third of its value. 28,000, Jim. I mean, we're looking at basically that's another 20% decrease or so. And it could. And the thing is about Bitcoin, because of the volatility and the knock-on effects, it could conceivably, if it's heading to 28,000, 20,000's not that far off.
Given the volatility of this instrument, again, only those who are willing to endure enormous volatility. The one thing that I will mention in my mid-April, one of my weekly technical reviews, my take was, Gary, that at that point in time, people were much better buying gold than the cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin specifically. And since then, I think Bitcoin has dropped from, it was near 60,000, and gold, I think, was in the mid 1700s. So, people aren't using technical analysis, especially trading and investing in very volatile instruments. You're going to get run over. It's just a question of how much tuition are you going to pay before you decide that technical analysis is a really important part of the equation.
You know what my father used to say? Every time you get into a new business that you know nothing about, you pay for lessons. So get ready to pay for some crypto trading lessons, because it's coming. And I knew this. Look, Jim, you know, just like copper, just like lumber, just like anything else that goes parabolic, which we've seen it, it's going to crash back down to earth. Now, copper, not so much parabolic compared to the other markets we're talking about, but lumber, it's a perfect example. You said, you know, it could conceivably be half of what it is now, but it'll still be double what it was last year. But nonetheless, the parabolic move will be over. And, you know, there are substitution. People will start building their houses out of bricks or recycled bottles recycled shoes, tennis sneakers, whatever.
Yes. Yeah. Now, one of the points I make in the June macro tides is that normally when commodity prices go up a lot, companies increase production, like, you know, be able to produce more copper, more industrial metals, more lumber. What's interesting is the increase has happened so dramatically.
Yeah.
And the input costs to build additional capacity have gone up so much that there are no plans in the U.S. to build any new sawmills. So what that means is that, lumber prices are going to come down, but they're not going to, I don't think, retrace all the way down to $400, because we're not seeing the supply outlook improve significantly in the next 1 to 2 years. So this is a very unique period of time, because normally there would be sawmills on the planning blocks, you know, and they're just not going to happen because companies just, it takes 2 years to build a sawmill, costs hundreds of millions of dollars. And I think a lot of people look at it, as you're talking about it, Kerry, is that, okay, yeah, this huge pop up, but it's going to come down. So why do I want to build a new sawmill at peak prices when potentially 2-3 years from now, you know, lumber could be happening throughout a lot of the stuff that, you know, build stuff around the world. You're going to see the rest of the world reopen in the next 6 months. And I think that's one of the demand factors that's going to help support copper, and why I do think the probabilities favor that it's going to go up and make another new high, or at least test this most recent high, before maybe a deeper pullback can, you know, come into play. So
Agreed. Hey, Jim, it's always great having you on. Always learn something when you're on. Appreciate it. Macrotides.com. Just tell us again how we get that June edition again.
Yep. Jim Welsh, WELSH, macro@gmail.com. And thanks, Kerry. I always enjoy having a conversation with you, and appreciate the opportunity.
Always, Jim. Hey, good luck. Thanks for coming on. And we will talk to you again real soon. Any questions for Jim, just send an email to kl@kerrylutz.com. We'll forward it off. And while you're at it, go over to our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, and sign up for our free newsletter. Jim, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Kerry. Stay well.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.